Welcome to episode 4 of What's on Joe Mind. It's a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. I am Gary. Joining me per usual on the broadcast is Kesha fan Greg. How you doing, Greg?
Hello.
Wrapping up his 1 week pilgrimage of silence, we got Chuck.
Hi, everybody.
Introducing the man who can't spell dork, Justin.
What's going on?
And also joining us tonight is the admin of Joe Sightings, moderator on JBL, Joe Declassified, sometimes contributor to General Joe's, and local legend, Beachhead Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the program, everybody. Just so you know how to get in touch with us in the future, you may contact us at whatsonjoemine@gmail.com. You may also find us on Facebook. Just search What's on Joe Mine. Click like, add us to your news feed, and you will see all sorts of interesting items throughout the week. You may also download our podcast on iTunes and also from whatsonjoemine.podbean.com. We'll kick it off right away with Greg with the top item of the week.
All right. Thanks, Gary. I think our big discussion topic for this week should be G.I. Joe Renegades, which is now on episode 20, which it seems just started a couple weeks ago, but we're already in almost 25 episodes. So, Chuck, have you been seeing any of the episodes lately?
I watch it every week. It's, you know, when it first started, I was one of the guys that thought, you know, this is going to be terrible. The animation was horrible, which I still think it is. But the story is just really, really good. I mean, it's well written. It's, you know, ties in week to week. And I really like how they've been introducing the extra characters from the G.I. Joe universe. You know, last week we had Airtight and Dr. Venom. This week we had, well, actually, we had more of that. We had some friction between Cobra Commander and Dr. Mindbender. And, I just think it's really good. I mean, when you have Clancy Brown doing the voice of Destro, I mean, you can't go wrong. What do you think?
It's, anybody who's visited my website knows that I'm a huge G.I. Joe Renegades fan. And, you know, I will admit, when it first started out, the designs rubbed me a little bit the wrong way. You know, I wasn't sold on the style, but it has grown on me in a big way. And, you know, I think there can be a difference between bad animation and sketchy design. You know, while the design isn't necessarily my favorite, I think the animation itself is really smooth. Seems very polished. You know, the action is really well done. You know, compared to any recent G.I. Joe animation, this is it's about the best we've seen since the 80s, I think. And in my opinion, it eclipses the 80s in a lot of ways. Just the story is a lot more adult, you know, a lot more complex. Yeah, some of the episodes can be a little bit of formulaic. You know, requisite guest star happens. You know, they come across a poor town. They have to save somebody from something and then move on. You know, it's kind of a shame that it's going on hiatus so shortly, because it looks like they're really trying to build a good foundation. But I love this series. I think it's great. I'm enjoying it immensely, and it's just a shame that it's going to come to a close so quick.
Or if not a close, then at least a year and a half break as we get fed some line about how we can't support two continuities at one time.
Yeah, and that's... You know, I'm not buying that for a second. If anybody who thinks that G.I. Joe Renegades is going to come back in a year in its current arc and incarnation is fooling themselves. They can call it a hiatus or whatever they want to call it, but they're phasing it out. They're bringing the movie continuity in, and, you know, if G.I. Joe animation continues after the movie, it's not going to be G.I. Joe Renegades. It's going to be built around whatever the movie is, and the movie is certainly not going to be based on anything Renegades-like.
Yeah, I tend to think that's correct, too. And it kind of goes along the same lines in that I think from the very beginning. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the show. I really do. I've been in since about 2 minutes in. I said, yeah, you know, this is going to be all right. But I think they were maybe a little ambitious when they were planning this out as a 5-year arc. You know, we're very quick to punish the Hub and punish Hasbro for the decision to do this, you know, despite the fact that you've got this $200 million project on another burner that we know is going to require a lot of time, attention, and TLC. But I can't necessarily be super upset that they want to push that out to the front. So I think maybe making the commitment to this being 5 years worth of stories was maybe a little overly ambitious from the beginning. So, but that being said, if I have one issue with the show, it's that we've had too many episodes where there are guest stars and they don't, other than provide, you know, 18 minutes of quality film time, that's really the only purpose they have. I mean, it's like the barbecue episode comes to mind. Now, there was a story that I felt very organically, but that was a character that really connected with the other Joes, particularly Roadblock and Tunnel Rat. And there was some good chemistry there. And then at the end of it all, when it just seems like a very natural decision that he would make to go and continue the fight against Cobra, he decides to stay behind.
Yeah, that and that's what I've got to kind of agree with that too. And I think they were a little over ambitious with that 5-year plan, you know, and maybe should have thought about that formula a little bit better, because they spend so much time trying to build this universe with all these guest stars, and running out of time to do anything with it.
Yeah, recent projects have supported this. You know, Transformers Animated. I'm no Transformers guy by any stretch. I loved Transformers Animated. Surprised me too, but they were kind of surprised that they got canceled after 3 seasons, despite high ratings and critical acclaim. Before that, there was Teen Titans, which, you know, they got to 80 episodes. That was an in-house Cartoon Network project. You know, the same people own DC as own Warner Brothers, owns Cartoon Network, blah, 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 blah. They didn't know if they were going to get picked up. Batman Brave and the Bold was that way after 2 seasons. So you've had these very successful projects that, despite the fact that, yeah, they get ratings, and Renegades gets pretty good ratings, you can't bank on that being enough when you're trying to... When you've got to tie into the toy aisle and things go stale a little bit quicker now than they did a generation ago, you can't make a 5-year commitment and expect to pull it off.
You know, just to give you guys an idea, when this was all coming together, I actually heard a rumor that the Transformers show, Prime, was actually, they had made something along the lines of a 10-year commitment to it. That I don't, whether or not it would still be Prime, but there would be at least 10 years worth of new Transformers animation. And that's also went around the same time I heard this 5-year commitment. So Hasbro, you know, I think was looking forward that both of these would be their flagship shows on this channel.
I could see that with Prime, because Prime is pretty open-ended. It's just 5 Autobots on the planet Earth with 3 really annoying kids. and terrible blocky animation and an awful color palette, but it as far as where the, I can you tell I'm not really as big a fan of that show.
No.
I'm with you, brother. Trust me.
But at the same side, I can actually see that being legit, because first off, Transformers is their number one cash cow, so it's not going anywhere. Second off, they could make drastic changes halfway through. Nobody would miss Prime if they completely restarted after 4 seasons. If they just said, Prime's done, we're going in a different direction, nobody cares.
Hey, Mike, what's the over-under of the Ripcord Still Alive pool?
How do you figure the Ripcord Still Alive? What do you mean the over-under?
I thought you were the one that was saying that he could be possibly still alive, that it was ambiguous and everything.
No, see, Gary, this is the issue with you not keeping up with Renegades. Ripcord came back last week there, smart guy.
Spoiler. See? Just spoiler alert it. Come on.
Holy cow, man. What did you throw that? That was a softball.
Well, here's what I think of Renegades, because I've been trying to keep up with it for the last week or so. I went up to Winnipeg, and I think I got up to 116, so I'm still about 4 behind. But essentially, this is what Renegades is. It's the A-Team. If you can't hear in the background, I got the A-Team theme going. So you got Duke as Hannibal. Well, maybe even Scarlet as Hannibal. You got Roadblock as B.A. Clearly, Tunnel Rat as Murdoch. Don't know quite who Face is yet. And you got the Flint as Colonel Decker. But it's amazing that a lot of the storylines they did, even in Renegades, very similar. The whole biker gang takes over a town, and how the A-Team would come in and they would find, you know, a barn full of rusted out farming equipment, and they would turn it into guns, and then they would teach the townspeople to fight off the biker gang, and then, okay, here comes G.I. Joe, or the Renegades, in the town, and it's the same thing. A lot of the same themes. Funny thing is we can't say, us older folks, we have seen that before. These kids that are watching it for the first time, unless they've seen an A-Team rerun, this is the first time they're seeing this stuff. So while the themes for us are pretty common, the folks that are watching it for the first time, the kids that are watching it for the first time, hopefully picked a good place to get on, because this is some of the common themes that we had as kids from the 80s. But really, my only complaint about the whole thing is I just wish Hasbro would pick a direction and stick with it. And I think we've talked about that with the 5-year arc that they were supposed to go. I think the fandom on a whole is smart enough to figure out the difference between the Renegade continuity and the movie continuity. How the Transformer fan, you know, that Transformer fandom can do that. The Star Wars fandom can do that. The you name it fandom can do that. But why for us, you have to stop one thing so you can start something else? Are we not that smart? Or they just don't have a great deal of faith in the line? My question, but it's rhetorical. Maybe there's not an answer. So,
yeah, I think we'd probably be surprised at what the thought process behind things like this is. You know, I can't tell you one way or the other why, you know, the G.I. Joe themes seem to change at a moment's notice, so everything else remains fairly static. I mean, one thing you could say, it's the level of success. I mean, I guess, excuse me, Transformers, you know, is a multi-billion-dollar industry at this point. excuse me again. And they figure it can support multiple continuities, multiple formats. Star Wars, I mean, forget it about it. It's the 500-pound gorilla. It can withstand pretty much anything. But G.I. Joe is always kind of skating that line where it can't maybe financially support multiple iterations of the same thing. So they've got to kind of make a decision one way or another. We're either going to support this or we're going to support this. The problem comes is when they don't seem to give it enough of a shot. You know, I mean, Renegades, you know, the notice of hiatus came halfway through the first season, so you got to figure the decision was made prior to that, so how many episodes had aired before they made the decision that it wasn't coming back for a second season? And did they give it enough time to kind of build it? I mean, they prided themselves on Renegades building this universe, and then they didn't give it time to build, so, you know, I really don't know.
If the promotion material before the season started was any indication, then they probably made that decision about 2 weeks before the premiere.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was, I think Short Packed even did a comic where they're sitting there watching TV and it's 5 panels of Transformer previews.
Yep.
Oh, and we've got this G.I. Joe show coming on too.
Yep, I saw that.
Well, another interesting...
It was funny, but it was all too true. And
it's funny because it's true, yeah.
Well, that's typically Short Packed for you. Another interesting fact that I found out, a friend of the program who we'll later interview knew some of the artists that were doing the animation, and he told me, well, even before it went into cancellation or hiatus, they can call it whatever, that there were no more drawings for season 2. This thing was in the can, ready to go, and that was it, at season 1 done. So that is disappointing to hear, if it's true, and it sounds like it is, but, you know, it didn't sound like that Hasbro put much faith in this past season 1, even though they said, yeah, sure, we're gonna give you 5 years for it.
I think that leads into the whole, that there wasn't any, like, the figures are for Renegades. They're first going to be coming out in fall of this year when the show was actually off the air. I think that's, if you're going to put the effort into making a brand new show and you're going to have all these new character designs, I don't know if you want to wait until you have something on the pegs for someone to pick up and say, hey, this looks just like Duke and this looks just like Scarlet. I mean, I don't know. That one kind of didn't make any sense for why they did that.
That's something that Hasbro's been doing going back to Transformers Animated, where the show was actually running for about 3-4 months before any of the product was on the shelf. Now, in that instance, it was because the stores had requested of Hasbro more movie toys instead of a new product. But then, you know, but that's the new, what I see is the new program, that what they're going to be doing is that once the show has been on a season, then you get the toys, because they're doing the same thing with Prime, because the Prime toys will be hitting the shelves in the fall. And just off the top of my head, I know Green Lantern, they were advertising stuff. They're actually, I think, towards the end of the movie line, are going to be putting out figures for the new cartoon. And that's actually, you know, going to be well off in the future as well. So there's like, for some reason, companies now have this issue where they can't have product on the shelf concurrent to when the animation is on the air. And, you know, I guess some office somewhere at a boardroom, they were shown some facts and figures that said this will be better sales for you. I don't know.
The issue is also that companies aren't happy being toy companies anymore. They want to be entertainment entities. So they're so busy creating all this different entertainment, the movies, the cartoons, and everything, that are trying to support these toy lines. You know, you end up with a situation where Green Lantern, well, you know, the movie's coming out. Everybody wants to see the movie. Well, let's release a cartoon. Oh, but you can't have two different kinds of toys on the shelves because the kids will be confused. So you got to do the movie stuff first and the cartoon stuff later. And the same thing for Transformers, you know, they got Dark of the Moon going on this summer, so you can't have Prime toys on the shelves because it'll confuse the kids, even though the Prime cartoon is going on. So they got to stagger the toy releases. It's the you know, Marvel kind of started this whole cycle where, you know, they've concentrated so fully. Well, actually, you know, maybe DC started it first with the Timverse cartoons, and Marvel's kind of taken the ball and run with it with all their movies and stuff. You know, where they're not happy just doing comics. They're not happy just doing toys. They have to do entertainment, video games, movies, cartoons, all of that stuff. And that's where everything is headed. So you're going to end up with a lot more instances of this where there's so much entertainment out there that the toys can only support so much of it.
On top of it, too, is animation anymore is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not sending off overseas to the slow boat to get cells all that often any longer. A lot of the backgrounds and non-organic characters, I guess you could call it, they're done with computers now, and so there's just, it doesn't cost as much. And when if it falls on its face out of the gate, then you can just cut ties with it and you're done, and there's nothing invested in it. Whereas planning out a toy line requires a lot of time, a lot of resources, and a lot of cash. And so you have to make sure you've got a hit on your hand before you put toys out there.
Yep.
We don't have a situation, you know, like back in the 80s we had the Sunbow Marvel cartoons on in the afternoons, but let's face it, it was going to fly anyway because the characters on the cartoon pretty much looked like the characters in the comics, which also happened to look like the characters that were already on the shelves. So there was, even though you were dealing with essentially three different continuities, there was still a synergy there in how the characters looked. And they're not going that way with any of that stuff anymore. You know, it supported three different universes then, and that's what they're doing now, but they don't look anything alike. They don't belong to one another visually. And that could be the root of the problem.
Can I just mention something that I was just thinking about? You know, we're talking about, you know, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Hasbro properties. Hasbro has been doing this where, with Iron Man 2, Captain America, and we will eventually see for Thor, that they are running the movie line and a comic book line concurrently. Like right now, you can go to Toys R Us or whatever toy store you want. You can find Captain America figures. You will find the one that says movie series, and you will find the one that says comic series. And these are two different universes that are being sold under the same line. So I don't see why, you know, for G.I. Joe, they can't do, you know, Pursuit of Cobra, Renegades, movie line, or you know, if you want to do it under the movie line, do like Rise of Cobra 2, whatever it's going to be called, and then have, you know, comic series, cartoon series, or something like that. I mean, they've done it already with these other properties, and you know, I think they can do it.
It works to some extent, but the issue you have there is that you know, with say, let's take the Captain America line as a route, rather than having, you know, Woodland Attack Cap in green and black camouflage. This, you know, as say the previous Marvel lines from Toy Biz had done. I don't know if anybody else remembers that Spider-Man line they had with the cartoon and back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, you had Vampire Hunter Spider-Man and Scuba Attack Spider-Man and all this crazy stuff. Basically, they can take these other wrinkles and they can substitute out those really hokey versions of the same character, and they can get something that's going to make somebody happy. But the problem you run into that with G.I. Joe, and that when you think of Captain America, you're basically thinking of, you know, one guy and probably his three biggest villains. G.I. Joe is at least, you know, I mean, it's any one of a dozen characters just off the top of my head. And you know, if they limited that and they gave us, I mean, because you know the way that would work is we would get, you know, comic book Duke, Renegades Duke, you know, Renegade Snake Eyes, comic book Snake Eyes, 85 Tribute Snake Eyes, and we would just, I mean, we've been getting too many of these core characters as it is. It would only get worse.
Well, for the last movie line, they were doing something like that, where you would have a wave that would be split between two series. And basically, Series 1 were the characters from the movie, and Series 2 were supplemental characters, some who were in the video game for Rise of Cobra, but others who really they just made for the sake of making, to fill out the line. So, I mean, if they could do that, I can maybe see them, you know, doing the same thing. But now, obviously, you would have to, shape it up. I don't think you would put, you know, in a wave, a movie Cobra Commander and a comic book Cobra Commander at the same time. You know, that just doesn't make sense to me. Or maybe you would, and, you know, let the consumer decide. But I think the way they plan out and, you know, stock the waves and what have you can be rethought. And, you know, better utilize, if they look to their comic book properties, they can maybe find a way to better to utilize what they're doing there for their in-house properties like G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Yeah, and hopefully they, like Chuck just said, hopefully they start looking at what they're doing on the other lines, seeing if it works, and then applying it to G.I. Joe, because I think everyone would be, it seems like the upcoming fall waves where they redesign the packaging and they have Renegades Duke next to just a Techno Viper, stuff like that. I mean, they're trying to mingle all the lines together, and they're differentiating them just by the card art. But hopefully that's the way they go in the future with stuff.
Last bit from me on this is, what's the yay or nay? Are we going to see the Black Dragon helicopter or not?
Yeah, I think we will.
Maybe at Ross, but yeah, it could work out that way.
I hope so at some point.
It'd be awesome. Oh, don't get me wrong, I want to see it, but I'm kind of crossing my fingers on that one.
Is the Black Dragon, is that alpha size or is that beta size?
Bravo, yeah.
Bravo, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. Justin's offended.
No, that's okay.
Come on.
That's okay, Greg. We'll let you mess up. I mean, hell, I haven't seen the Ripcord episode yet, so shame on me, damn it.
We stopped listening to you after that.
Well, I think most everyone else has, too, and I'm making sure my mute button is actually off, so, yeah.
All right, moving on.
Is someone there? Mike Kettle, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Speak of the devil, that's our next topic. Hey, Gary, you want to introduce him?
He looked so quiet and peaceful over there. I figured we'd give him the informal intro first.
I don't mind.
Go ahead, Gary. Explain who Mike Heddle is.
I think Gary's probably the one that we can ask for the proper introduction. Gary, fire away.
I think Gary might have his mute button.
Well, we're sitting here just listening to you guys. But please, everyone, rise for the Canadian National Anthem and Mike Heddle.
Do I need to sing?
No. We heard you last week with Just a Gigolo.
That was too much.
No.
No, it's like a nine.
But owner and proprietor of JoeCanuck.com and the brain trust and lead Canucklehead himself, Mike Heddle, everyone.
Yay!
So everybody on the podcast gets a free Canadian JoeCon set, right?
Yeah, only if you show up and purchase one, sure.
Man.
Keep trying.
Definitely doesn't make it free.
There's that odd silence again. Anyways.
All right, Mike, I guess I'll get it started. Just the softball question. How did the Canadian Joe Convention get started?
The traditional annual every question I'm always asked everywhere question. Okay.
Fire away.
I've got this down to a science now. It's going to be really basic. A bunch of us on Joe Customs were talking that, hey, we're all from Ontario. We should meet up and get together and have our own little G.I. Joe meet. You know, because we all couldn't afford to go to JoeCon that year. So we did. We all met up together at a mutual place. Literally less than 10 of us showed up the first year. And we went out for dinner, bought some Joes. We kind of, well, some of them played with them. Not me, of course, no. But, you know, we had some dinner, started talking about, we should do this bigger, get some more people here. And we did. The following year, we had about 30 people show up, I think. Which, you know, for a thing that we didn't really give a crap about, just, yeah, come on by, you know, it was kind of cool. Next year it got bigger, then bigger, and bigger, and now it's, now it's a full-blown convention with guests that we fly in, hotel deals, convention sets, lineups, free, but we still have the free Timbits, so we never got rid of those.
Excellent.
Which Timbits are donut rule. Holes for all of you listening that don't have a clue what a Timbit is.
Timbits are awesome. They put Dunkin' Donut donut holes to absolute waste.
Yes. Yeah, Gary would know. He spent the week in Canada. He should know.
I consumed my fair share of Timbits, yes.
I think it's like when you get north of the border, you have to consume your body weight in Timbits daily.
Half your body weight in Timbits, the other half in Canadian beer and poutine. That's your trip to Canada.
Hey, right, I thought we were going to keep this PG-rated.
I was waiting for someone to say that. They are cheese.
So hard.
They are cheese curds for your French fries. We're sitting up in a restaurant called Moxie's up in Winnipeg, and the waitress asked the guy that I went with, "Do you want gravy with your fries?" And he's like, "Gravy? What do I want gravy for?" And dude, it's a Canadian thing. Just go ahead and say yes. And he didn't believe. He's like, "Is this like gravy for your like mashed potatoes or gravy for your like biscuits?" And I'm like, "Yeah, dude, try it." So yeah, he got a side of gravy. So gravy and beer and poutine, and I said it right, so we can still keep this a good clean program.
It's a family show after all. I don't know whose family, but maybe Gary's family, because your daughter's about as Joe nuts as any 7-year-old girl I've ever met.
Okay, awkward silence again.
I'm just saying. You know. I'm saying you did a good job, Gary.
Oh, thanks. Did you hear that, everyone? I did a good job. Finally, it's been recorded.
And by you, I mean Debbie.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally true. Although, really, it is Debbie's fault that I didn't go to the Canadian convention last year. Let's put it out there.
Wasn't it actually a relative of hers?
You can't blame her. It was her brother.
Brother, then yeah, you can blame her parents then.
Yeah, any weekend the dude could have picked to go get married. He could have run off and got married for all I was concerned. No. Canadian convention weekend.
Well, Gary, like I told you back then, you should have faked a sickness.
See, not
night before, just throw up something, say, oh, I can't go, you guys go without me, then miraculously you're healed.
The father-in-law is a doctor, so...
Oh, well...
Family weddings are a dime a dozen. Canadian JoeCon is once a year.
There you go.
There you go. Well, Chuck, I know you have questions. We talked about Canadian Convention before. What questions you got for them?
This is actually going back to something from last week. We were looking at the first figure from the exclusive set, and we wanted to know what the inspiration was, especially from that head sculpt.
It is not the Undertaker, okay? I heard it, and I'm sitting here going, man. No.
Oh, okay, well, that was basically it. Oh, wait a minute, wait up. That was Gary's part. Let me ask you my part.
Not my part. I never said it was The Undertaker.
That was great. And you know what? I get the two of you confused all the time. Sue me. My other question was...
I don't know who should be more insulted by that.
Was the head taken from Buzzer from the 25th anniversary line? Because I noticed the glasses and the overall sculpt of the jawline really... And his hair, believe it or not, really made me think of that single-carded Buzzer.
It does look like Buzzer, I'll give you that. But the head actually is no other Joe figure that's out there. We didn't reuse any Joe figure at all for this. It's a completely new sculpted head that we have for it, that we had done up for specifically for the convention set. So it's not based on Undertaker. It's not an existing Joe head. It's not Buzzer. Someone else emailed me saying, did you guys use an old Headman head? And I'm like, no, he's got a hat. Come on. You know?
Headman.
Really nice looking figure. I'll be interested to see what accessories he comes with.
Well, he comes with the vest, I know that. Here's a quick tidbit about the concept this year. Unlike last year's, and I don't know if you guys read the Joe Classified, or Declassified, I forget the actual title of it now, magazine that was given out at the Canadian Joe Convention last year, and it's also posted at their site now. But in there, I state, and I kind of dropped it on the rest of the convention staff as well. I didn't even mention it to them. I never got around to it. I was too busy. That I wouldn't be doing a concept this year. I would be stepping back and saying, here, you guys do it. So when you ask me, you know, stuff like where this figure come from, like the idea for him and that, not me. It came from a bunch of other guys. They did a great job with him. Don't get me wrong, because I think Captain Ruin looks awesome. You know, he looks like a take-no-crap kind of guy. And, from my understanding from his bio, he is a take-no-crap kind of guy. But, I'm looking forward to... Sorry?
The fandom clamors for mealy milquetoast characters.
Yeah, well, actually, no, hey, come on. 2009, we had a guy, Shaquille Noir in the convention set. Larry Hema actually wrote his bio for him. And he was just a loser. That was supposed to be the whole thing, is that this guy's supposed to be, you know, run-of-the-mill kind of guy no one really cares about. And he's one of everyone's favorite characters. So, you know, they actually do want a no-name character now, it seems.
I actually did have a follow-up. This is actually on behalf of Greg. Does Greg really need to stand in line to get his convention set? I know that that's been a concern the past couple of weeks.
No, he's got. There's another option too. You can sit at home and eBay one.
No.
You can pay someone to stand in line for you. The whole thing about the lineup is we didn't expect anyone to line up. We never endorse a lineup. We never said, yeah, you guys will have to line up the night before. We said, here, convention starts 9 o'clock this time. You know, we knew there'd be a lineup at 9, so we're like, just get in line and you'll get your concept. Lo and behold, we find out from security, and in 2009 is when this big lineup thing started happening. We find out from security when we show up at 6 in the morning that people started lining up at midnight. And I'm like, for what? To get in? He's like, oh, they wanted your toy exclusive thing. Oh, okay. That was a shock to us. The following year, 2010, we were a little more prepared for it. We assumed there'd be a lineup, so I told the hotel that, look, you're going to have the guests booking their hotel rooms and not sleeping in them. They're going to be sleeping out on the sidewalk waiting in line to buy toys. And the hotel's a little taken back by that, but they're totally fine with it. Everyone was well-behaved, and they're expecting another lineup this year. So it's something we've come to expect now. We know there's going to be a lineup during the convention. It's nothing we endorse, but it's like concert tickets, right? Someone wants to see their favorite band, they're going to go get in line for tickets. Well, it's the same thing. You want your convention set, you're going to have to line up now.
So basically what I'm taking away from this is Greg is going to be sleeping in the streets.
Greg will probably have to pay for his hotel room to sleep in the parking lot, yes.
Well, at least my girlfriend can use the room. I guess I'll be sleeping in the hallway.
There you go.
See, Greg, it's just all part of the hazing. The first time you go, you got to do it. And then after that, you're just, you know.
Yeah, I think Gary was in line 2009.
Absolutely. I tell you what, as much as I tried, freaking Mike plays no favorites whatsoever.
No, I don't. I can't. If I put a concert aside for everybody that I know in the
You'd have none for nobody else. That's what you have.
We have about 10 left.
Yeah.
Morning of the convention, really, we would. You know, not just me. Like, you know, if Ed or Pete or Dave or Jason, anyone else from the con staff or Ryan, you know, if they start spewing off to their friends, oh, let's hold 4 for this guy and 5 for these guys and so on. Yeah, we wouldn't even have to promote the convention or the con sets. They'd be all sold by now.
So how many of them do you guys produce for the convention?
This would be the first year we have 125 of them. And you got to remember, the majority of the work on these things is done by hand or some other means. They're not factory-made figures. Well, let me phrase that. They're factory-made figures actually made by Hasbro, which we're kitbashing, customizing, whatever you want to call it. We're altering them, basically. With Hasbro's blessing, I may add, as well, which is very cool of them.
Yes. And I just want to say, too, that you guys really do some awesome work with this stuff.
Thanks.
My personal favorite of the ones that you guys have done, I'm a big fan of Snowbank.
Snowbank.
Yes, from back in 2008. He just kind of fits. You know, you don't necessarily you've got that helmet that was always used for the Lamprey and you thought was real distinctive, but you don't. You have to kind of do the double take to make sure that that's what that is right there. And,
right.
I mean, yeah, he's got some red, but he's distinctive, and he's got the maple leaf thing going on the chest there. So he's obviously proud of where he's from. I dig Snowbank. I thought you guys in 2009 too. I think you guys just went out of your head with that silver hiss tank.
You want to know a story about the hate tank? That was actually something that wasn't originally fully planned. Let me say. Originally, if you remember, we had the Arctic Hiss tank that came out from Hasbro. It was supposed to be distributed, and then they canceled it, right? Gotcha. Well, it got canceled. We'd already worked out a deal with Hasbro Canada to take some overstock of the Hiss tanks up here and some other stuff up here. And our plan was to get it professionally painted and, you know, glossed over, whatever, make it white, and we'd make our own Arctic Hiss tank. Well, lo and behold, the tanks are on the way to us. We got the confirmations. They're being shipped. They went out today. Beautiful. Thank you. Probably 5 hours later, we find out the Arctic tanks are now going to be sold at, like, Big Bad Toy Store and other shops online. We're like, crap, what do we do? I fully admit, I take full credit for it. I had the idea to chrome the thing up. I came up with a basic idea of a storyline that, you know, Cobra found a Sky Patrol downed vehicle or something, like the Sky Raven, and reverse engineered it, and it became a hate tank. I don't remember if the rest of the guys were fully on board with that, but obviously it was a hit, thankfully. It panned out very well. With the help of Gary and Justin, we got the entire internet buzzing about these things for about a week by leaking some pictures out.
Oh, viral marketing, yes.
Yes. I have to admit, that was fun, man.
It was.
It also kind of sucks seeing some friends I've had for like 15, 20 years reading this thing. Going, what the hell is this thing? I got to get one. I got to get 10. This is awesome. And me not being able to tell them what it is. But yeah, the hate tank is probably one of my favorites as well. Probably because I had a major part to do with that, but just also because it's pretty damn cool. And I can say it right now, I have no plans ever to do anything chromed again. Every year someone thinks we're going to do something chromed again, and it's just not going to happen.
All right, it's on the record. You heard it. No more shop or vac metal stuff ever. Ever?
I wouldn't say ever, just I have no plans.
Okay. To make chromed again. All right, read between the lines on that one, folks.
Yeah, so if I next year's convention, I'm going to be hands-on with the planning of it again. But if I decide to say, yeah, screw this, you guys do it again this year, and they decide to do it, then that's them, not me.
Hey, Mike, I got a couple of questions for you. First one, softball, easy lob here, and the next one, maybe a little bit tougher. I don't know what you can answer on it, but first one
I'll
is...
make him cry, Gary.
No, Mike cry?
I don't.
No, dude...
in a row have you made somebody cry?
Heddle is the most and I only seen him once at the convention, and he looks like he's ready to tear off anyone's head anytime. And
that's when I'm in a good mood.
That's when he's good. and he's just running around the place. And the first time I saw him, you know, we've been talking online for ages, and I'm like, nah, he's way too damn busy, I'm not gonna go talk to him. And he gets upset at me for not coming over and talking to him. So why'd you come over and talk? I say hi. I'm like, dude, you had like a blood vessel, you know, coming out in your forehead and pointing things at God. I'm not going to come up. No.
Jerk move, Gary.
Well, I want to be the first time I've had a jerk move. First easy question is...
I got to refrain now.
G-rated podcast. G-rated
microphone now. Muting the microphone.
Well, we could barely hear you anyways. Oh, there's a silence. Anyways, Mike,
I'm back.
What's your favorite of all the figures you've done? Real easy. What's your favorite one?
My absolute favorite one?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a hard question to answer. I would have to go with probably Black Ice. I don't remember the specifics on how he came to be. I just remember knowing exactly what head I wanted to use, what chest I wanted to use. And I had to go from there. And if it wasn't for a guy named Charles up here in Canada having all the extra Mirage legs and arms at home, Black Ice probably wouldn't have come to be honest. You know, so it's probably got to be Black Ice. It was one of those things that we did Joe Canuck the year prior, or 2 years prior, the figure of Joe Canuck. And people kind of wanted another exclusive custom figure, you know, for the Joe meet at the time. And Black Ice is what I came up with. And again, boom, another big hit. You know, I think a thread showed up on Yo-Jo that got shut down twice, actually got shut down. It got reopened and then it got shut down again. Because
you got to watch those Yo-Jo moderators.
I know. I hear that administrator is really shifty too.
Oh, well, we won't say anything else. Hey, Terry, how you doing?
Yeah. I think Black Ice is probably the launching point to get more people interested in the Canadian Joe meet, now the Canadian Joe convention. You know, we followed up Black Ice with Shiver, and then the year after that it was Snowbank and, well, Timbit, which was supposed to be a joke figure, but apparently he has his own following now.
Does it strike you, I mean, how do you feel when you see these figures go on eBay and they're just going for $200, $300, $400 a pop? I mean, what do you think of that?
It's a little humbling, actually. With Black Ice, we held one behind to help offset the cost of the little Joe meet, you know, our little mini Joe convention. And when we put him on eBay, I think he sold for about $360 on there. I'm not sure the exact price anymore. And I remember a friend of mine called me, and he's like, "Dude, it just sold for $360." I'm like, "What? It was at $100 an hour ago." He's like, "Yeah, it sold for $360." I'm like, "Wow." Now, I've been making and selling customs for easily 20 years, okay? I've been selling them on eBay easily for 10, 12, however long eBay's been around, I've been selling them for. And I've sold customs in the $100 range, $200 range. I've even sold one for $500 before. So when it sold for this much, I was kind of shocked, but not that shocked. The following year, somebody listed a Shiver on eBay, and he sold for like $300, and then Timbit sold for a bunch, Snowbank sold for a bunch. Now I'm kind of used to it. But it's still humbling. It's cool to know that, hey, something I came up with, someone's that interested in it and they want it that badly in their collection that they're willing to spend that much money on the thing. You know?
Hey, I don't know what you can or can't answer on this, so answer what you can. What is the involvement with Hasbro Canada? Can you talk about that and how do they work with you and any of that type of stuff? Because I know you're kind of the first, you know, independent to kind of break in and do their own thing. I mean, that's pretty interesting in its own right that Hasbro Canada is willing to help you guys out. So how do they work with you guys?
Well, I think a big part of that, though, is, like you said, it's Hasbro Canada. You know, totally different country. Had we were doing if we were doing this in the U.S. and say we're in New York State and we wanted to be the New York G.I. Joe convention, I think we'd be shut down really quickly. You know, because you guys have a JoeCon down there, a yearly. It's a huge event. You obviously know you go to it, but Canada has nothing like that. And obviously, JoeCon isn't going to come to Canada, or they would have entertained that option by now, anyways. So, our I wouldn't say agreement, but our mutual understanding with Hasbro Canada is that we've got their blessing. Go ahead, do this convention. We're by no means a business like the Collectors Club is. You know, we're not making money every month off members because we don't have a membership. We put out a newsletter that's free, and all it does is promote G.I. Joe. You know, but Hasbro, in 2009, they donated some of the toys to us to use for our convention that year. And in return, because of that, we decided to donate half the profits of that concept to a local charity. You know, the following year, Hasbro, again, they tried to get us something, but there wasn't enough there that we could use. And they're coming again to the convention this year, and they've been really good with us every year.
Mike, I've got a question for you. First of all, a little plug. I haven't seen it mentioned a whole lot of places online yet, but a couple days ago you guys debuted Spook, one of the new guys from the latest convention set.
Right.
And he looks really awesome. Anybody who hasn't seen him yet, got to go to JoeCanuck.com and check him out. But I guess with a character like this or with any of these characters, what comes first, the design or the story? Do you come up with a character and then have to find parts to kind of work around that? Or do you look part combination, say, wow, that's cool, and then kind of create the story to match? How's the creative process work?
It's a little bit of both, and it changes, if that makes any sense. Top back to 2008 for a minute with Snowbank. Snowbank actually came around kind of by accident. I was flipping through one of Mark Bellamo's, his first guide, actually, Mark Bellamo's G.I. Joe guide, looking at parts, trying to think what'll work, what won't work, because I'd have to get stuff casted and have to find the arms from other collectors online. And I happened to be at Stealth Viper's house, Ed Dam's house, for the day. Me and my wife were friends with him and his wife. And him and I are sitting there going through the book, trying to come up with ideas, and I'm like, you know what? The Lamprey head on a Techno Viper body with, like, mainframe legs was really pretty cool, I think. You know, make him in white or something, and Ed just looks at me, stands up, and walks out of the room. A minute later, he comes walking back in with this little custom that he made, like, 5 years prior that he called Stealth Viper. And it had Lamprey's head, Techno Viper's chest, and I think Bazooka's legs. So, I actually think I've gone off topic. What did you ask me, Justin? Oh, what comes up first, the concept.
Yeah, just how the creative process.
So for that year, the figure came first and the bio came later, like the idea for him came later. To hop to our 2009 concept, obviously we knew we had these hiss tanks, so we had to come up with a story for why these things were going to be silver. So that, I guess technically the toys came first there, storyline later. This year the toys came first, storyline later. So I guess, yeah, usually the toys, I think it's what's available to us first. That's probably got to be the best thing. I'm trying to think back to 2010, what we had first, because I know I had a storyline in mind for that concept, and I don't remember if it was because we had the toys first or if I went after the toys because I had the storyline in my head. I don't remember that year. But yeah, typically it's what we've got before us first, you know, and then the storyline.
Cool.
Last question, and I kind of will just turn it back over to you, Mike, is give us the last spiel about that. We're about a month away, so where can we go to learn more about it? Where is it going to be held at? The dates, the plans, any of the guests, anything you want to mention, go ahead. This is open mic time for Mike Heddle.
Well, so. First, Gary, congratulations, first of all. You're no longer saying it's about two and a half months away.
Yeah.
I remember listening last week going, dude, it's like 5 weeks away. What is wrong with you? Look at a calendar.
Time slows down. Actually, time speeds up when you're in Winnipeg.
I believe that.
Sorry, it's happening in town.
It's happening in town. You snap in the window.
That's what the Jets said.
Canadian JoeCon. It is June 18th, Saturday, June 18th this year, obviously. I believe it's 30. Oh, crap. You know what? It is 1 month away tomorrow as of us recording this. I don't know when it's airing. So it's roughly a month away.
Yeah, really, Hedl. Come on now.
Come on. I know this is live.
It's like time, it's like time slows down.
I know. it runs from 9 to 5 p.m. There's a freebie table. So if you got kids, bring them by. They get first dibs at all the free toys people bring. And it's not just G.I. Joe toys they dump off. We had somebody dump off a big collection of Power Ranger toys, and I think two parents took them all. It was really strange to see that happen. A parent died for Power Rangers. Wow. We've got special guests coming again this year. We've got Ron Rudat, Mark Bellamo, James, I'm not even going to try to say his last name. I believe it is Kavanaugh. Did I say it right? Wow,
yep.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked. I don't think James is a special guest.
Well, you know where he is on that list there, right?
We can play his theme music again. I mean, that's no problem.
We've still got a guest to announce. I'm just waiting on him to send me a picture he wants to use and a bio that he wants me to use. I've kind of hinted at him already, but I haven't gotten that information from him yet, so I'm not actually going to announce him on the off chance that he's thinking of changing his mind or whatever. I don't know.
I will have that to you shortly.
Yeah. Well, we want people to attend. Sorry.
Snap! You did a pretty good job with the other ones. I figure I'm helping to kill off the overflow.
Yeah. Of course, Jason Liu, the artist of the monthly Canuck Huds cartoon in our Canadian JoeCon, or sorry, in our Joe Canuck Canadian newsletters, is also a guest there. He did our comic for this year and for last year and the year before, and probably next year. He'll be there signing his comics as well, if you want to get your comics signed. Also, Valentine D'Angelo, Delandro, will be there as well. He did work on G.I. Joe Classified with Larry Hama, actually, who, unfortunately, we were hoping to have up again this year, but he's got a convention the week prior somewhere else, and as we know, Larry doesn't like to travel much in the first place on planes, so he won't be attending this year, unfortunately. Hopefully we'll have him next year for our 10th Joe convention, though. Be really good to have him up for that one.
Hey, can I bug Mike with one last question?
Oh, shoot.
Besides, can we get you a con set?
When it comes to the figure stuff, do you have any restrictions from Hasbro what you can or cannot use? Like, could you ever dip into the Star Wars well or, like, the Marvel figures or anything like that and pull stuff from there, or is that kind of a no-no?
Well, as it is right now, Hasbro isn't supplying us with any items to use. We're actually purchasing our own items from...
Gotcha.
If they have overstock to use, we check with them first, don't get me wrong. If they have overstock to use, we'll use it. We looked at, actually, like, it's no secret, we're having a female figure this year. Her name's Valkyrie in the con set. It's our first female Canadian exclusives. We did consider looking into the Star Wars stuff of using, like, a Leia head or... Mara Jade or, you know, Mon Mothma, something like that, and redoing it. Obviously, just painting hair. There's not a lot you can do. But they didn't have anything for us to use. You know, there's not enough overstock there. And the other thing, too, is we're in Canada. We don't get that much overstock. And usually when we do get our overstock, it's your guys' overstock that your stores didn't want. You know, like the Alpha Waves before. They were all over the place up here. Walmart had them. Winners had them.
Wait a minute. Next year's set's going to be made up of Arctic Destros?
Possibly. Maybe from the neck down, but
that would work.
I want credit for that one.
A couple of scraps from the Codename Kid Next Door line.
Yeah, thank you. But no, there's no real restrictions. Hasbro Canada has been really, really great with us. Obviously, they're staying on top, seeing what we're doing. If there's anything they don't like, they're going to let us know. Actually, there was something they didn't like, and we had to change it. I don't remember what that was. That was a couple years ago. It has something to do with how we wrote something for the hate tank, I think, or something. I don't remember. But that year, they actually let us make with their blessing, the second backstop figure ever made. Because, you know, basically, I think the conversation roughly went like this. Hey, we want to make backstop in our convention set. Do we have your permission to use them? Oh, that guy? Yeah, go ahead, whatever. You know, they didn't care.
That Canadian? Yeah, no way we're making him, yeah.
We're not making him again. Go ahead. you know, we want to blow up the persuader in the thing as well. Whatever. You know. So.
Oh, you got to feel the love for your countrymen there.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you know, I'll admit, I've never been a backstop fan. I have hated his bright orange or bright red pants for years. I have warmed up to him the last 5 years, however. That was mostly in part of Ryan Costello, Scramble. He's, like, enamored with him as I am with collecting Roddy Piper items, but
That's because he's from Montreal.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's fully because he's from Montreal. I think Ryan's got a thing for backstop.
Okay.
G-rated podcast.
I think Ryan will be joining us at the Canadian convention when we do the podcast there. So we'll hit him speak up for that.
Yes. And you know what, with my angry look on, maybe I'll even stop by and growl or something. If I get a chance to.
I want a working mic afterwards.
Oh, it'll be working.
Okay.
Might be muffled right there.
provided you're not subdued by the very well-mattered mob that is approaching your house for not being a backstop fan.
Yes. Hey, actually, I mocked Star Trek fans a couple years ago on a local radio up here, comparing the convention to a Star Trek convention, but not that kind of a convention. And I ran into a guy I'd known for literally 20 years, and he was all ticked at me. He's like, "What the hell's wrong with you, man? What do you mean? You mocked the Star Trek. You know I love Star Trek." Well, I'm sorry. I was on radio. I got cut up. Okay, don't say it again. So, you know, big tough guy.
I know where you live, eh?
Yeah. Oh. Who was that again? Who just said, eh?
Justin.
I know better.
Had Tim Hortons. He would never do that.
What are you guys talking about?
Oh, there's Charles with the "let's offend of a Canadian" comment.
Yeah,
thank you.
Transformers fans.
Oh. Well, Mike Kettle, we thank you for joining us on the program, and you're welcome to definitely spend the rest of the time with us, or if you need to bolt, you're more than welcome to, but we got a couple more segments to go, and you're welcome to join us.
Well, I'll stick around.
All right.
I don't mind mocking Charles if you make it.
Okay. Well, everyone thanks Mike. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
You're all welcome. Right. Greg, back to you.
All right. Back to the news segment. After months of silence, basically, we finally got word that Marauder's Gunrunners has now announced Wave 6 weapons. They haven't actually shown the prototypes yet, but they sent out pictures of which weapons they've chosen. Chuck, did you get a chance to take a look at those at all?
Yeah, I did. Unfortunately, the only thing I've seen of it are the real-world pictures that they've shown. And just looking, I mean, some of them I'm really interested in, like the Desert Eagle handgun. They say it's like going to be modular, and I'm curious if we're going to be able to add like the laser sight that was used in the first Terminator movie. Other than that, that was really the only gun that really stood out to me from this wave. I do like the fact we're getting ninja stars. You know, ninja stars are always cool.
More stuff to lose and step on in the middle of the night.
Oh man, I think Wave 6 looks great. I love the way he's kind of, you know, dipping into the future a little bit. A lot of the weapons he's done this round were actually done by Hasbro fairly recently, you know, especially in their movie line. I think a couple of the weapons, the AA-12 shotgun, I think came with the Desert Battle Ripcord on the Rise of Cobra line, although I might be wrong. And the QBZ Type 95 assault rifle was another one that came with that Ripcord, I think. And the thing I love about it is that he's got a collector mentality. So, you know, Hasbro will design and produce these weapons based on, you know, military knowledge or whatever. But Marauder John's kind of, he knows how it interacts with the figure's hands, how collectors want to use it. And he's got a real knack for designing weapons to be a little bit more collector friendly. They're more rigid plastic and just kind of more detailed design. I think those are probably the two weapons I'm looking forward to the most. You know, the sniper rifle looks amazing. The M200, it's, unfortunately, I think John can be a victim sometimes of, you know, his factory's turnaround time, because that's the same sniper rifle that the Pursuit of Cobra Wave 4 Low Light came with. So, you know, now unfortunately he's got a couple pretty cool weapons that have already come with Hasbro figures, but now people can kind of stock up on these without having to buy multiple figures over and over again. But
good luck finding that Low Light multiples.
Exactly, yeah, good point, yeah.
I like how this is kind of what he's kind of gotten back to, almost standard type weapon wear with this wave. I like how there's not too much really weird stuff, for lack of a better term. Granted, you've got the alien flamethrower, but I mean, you got to have something in there to spice it up. but, you know, like the AA-12 is something that we'll be seeing in much, much more, you know, routine circumstances in the coming years. Love the AKM, you know, just a great basic kind of assault rifle that, again, we'll be seeing more of that as time goes by. What was the other one that I really was looking forward to grabbing a couple of?
Oh, yeah, FOS is the modular just assault rifle is a pretty basic looking one that's really cool, like the swappable parts.
Yeah. Yeah, and one that looks like the Chinese QBZ, the Type 95.
Yeah.
Another one that just kind of, you know, we'll be seeing more of it in the coming years, and it'll kind of be the stock merchandise, you know, the stock, not merchandise, but you know what I'm saying, the stock weapon for armies and other parts of the world. So I like that we're not doing, you know, super weird stuff with all the selections this time. I think this is a real solid group.
Well, if I could jump in for a second, I know it's not my show.
Go ahead.
I am in love with that Desert Eagle. I'm absolutely in love with it. I'm in love with it so much, I'm thinking I may have to use it next year in our con set.
Nice.
And if we had a rule about having ninjas, which we plan on never having ninjas in our con sets.
Thank you.
Use that throwing star. Yeah, no ninjas, no robots. I'm planning to make that a rule forever.
What about robot ninjas?
Oh, wow.
No, but I would do pirate robots.
All right.
Zombie.
I gotta give big props to John at Marauder too, because he in the early days of the Joe meets and that, he supplied us with all the weapons we needed. You know, all the stuff for Black Ice, Snowbank, Shiver, all that. Even the first 2009 set had his weapons. This year, he's actually supplying the vests for our Coyote Trooper Army Builder guys. So I gotta give a huge thanks to him for that, because he seems to really cater to all the fans of G.I. Joe and his products, obviously, as well. So he's a top notch guy as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we'll still, it's a goal to still try to get him on the show for an interview. But go ahead.
Email him, because he's humming and hawing about setting up at the Canadian Joe Convention. So everybody write him. Tell him to show up in Canada for the Joe Commission so Justin can interview him at his table. Or Gary can. Sorry, Justin doesn't come to Canada. I forgot.
He's not allowed to.
Justin has That's visa cool. issues.
Yeah. Not until he does a Sigma 6 set, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Once we have a Sigma exclusive, Justin will be first one sleeping in line.
And Mike, if you could also put a moratorium on zombies, that would be really cool too, please.
I'm not going to rule out zombies, man. Oh. I love zombies. Sorry.
All right.
I got my zombie kit sitting right to the right of me.
So. Oh, yeah?
What about zombie ninjas?
No, but I would do zombie pirate.
All right, seriously. Excellent. Okay.
What about just plain pirates?
No, screw that. They're lame.
My thoughts on the set here, getting back on topic real quick. You guys, I don't know if it's up in Canada. I think I was seeing commercials that it was going to debut next week, but I know it's down here in the States on the Discovery Channel. Sons of Guns? Son of Guns, I think. I can't recall the actual name.
You want the truth? I don't watch a lot of TV, so I'm the wrong guy to ask about that.
It's this guy down in Louisiana. He owns a company called Red Jacket Firearms. And he makes custom guns, and really the FOS assault rifle looks like something that his shop would build. One of the early episodes is basically a guy comes in and says, you know, I want to make this assault rifle look like or be as functional as like a katana. You know, I want to make it nice and limber but nice and small and quick and light and all this. And so he takes all the specs and ends up building this, you know, this kick-ass, you know, gun for this guy. And this FOS reminds me a lot of that. But a lot of the guns you see in this particular wave have been featured in some form or matter on Sons of Guns. So I've kind of become a little bit of a fan, because it's different to see the different type of firearms this guy's willing to produce and modify. And a lot of the same stuff I see going on here with the modular attachments and whatnot. So thumbs up to John. Job well done.
Yeah, I think the best thing that John ever did was decide to do the modular attachments, because that adds so much variety to the weapons you can create. And it looks like pretty much every single one of the weapons, well, all the bigger guns coming out for this wave, they're all modular, and that's awesome. And then there's also the different hand grips and the silencers and the bipod and the grenade launcher. The fact that you can just mix and match pieces and glue them together and have whatever you want is way too cool.
Sigma 6.
Justin giggles uncomfortably.
All right. Last bit of news, and it kind of goes into collecting 101 for the week, is that BBTS and Small Joes have both announced that they'll be shipping out Wave 5 or Wave 3 2011, however you like to refer to it, within the next few days. And the collecting 101 for the week is, how do you guys get your figures? Do you order them online, or do you just rely on retail or eBay? Or, I guess, Chuck, how do you typically get your figures?
Going back to the 25th anniversary line, the single carded figure waves I ordered. I would order a couple of the comic packs, but mostly the 5-packs, the DVD sets, the store exclusive vehicles, and the comic packs, I would buy in shop, just because those are the ones that what I could see on shelf, and the single carded figures I didn't. With the movie line and Pursuit of Cobra, I've had to step back because I just couldn't justify the shipping anymore. So I was basically just going into stores, picking up what I saw, which sometimes was an exercise in futility. But with Pursuit, you know, especially now with Pursuit of Cobra, you know, the Wave 6 I had to order because I don't think I'll see it. Wave 5, it's going to have to wait till after San Diego Comic-Con, but then I'll make a decision there whether or not I'll order it, because I honestly don't think I'm going to see those in stores either. So it started one way, and it sort of transitioned into another way, and now it's going back to the first way again. So along it's online lines, store, back to online.
Along those lines, Chuck has 106 Rise of Cobra Neovipers.
No, I don't.
I know, I don't really, I don't have a choice, and I'm sure people get tired of me complaining about it, because I spend plenty of time on this podcast complaining about it, plenty of time on my website complaining about it, but, you know, I kind of live in the boonies. I have one Walmart that's local to me, and it hasn't, besides a scattering of random Rise of Cobra stuff, it hasn't carried G.I. Joe in probably 7 years, so, I don't see anything on shelf, so I really have no choice but to do the online ordering. When possible, I try to work out sponsorships for the site, for doing the reviews and stuff like that. But that's not always possible. So I just, whichever place gets it first, that's where I try to buy it from. And you just got to kind of suck up the shipping costs, because it's either shipping or it's driving 65 or 70 miles to go on a hunt. Gas prices these days, shipping's a heck of a lot cheaper than that. So that's how I do it. And I basically just buy them in full sets, because if you're buying three or two figures out of an assortment, you know, shipping costs are, you know, $6 or $8 for two figures, and you might as well just buy the whole set and rationalize some of those extra shipping charges. And I'm going to review them anyway, so that's basically what I do. And this trip, for those who don't know, I'm down at a training seminar right now in Burlington, Mass., and this trip is a perfect example why I do that. You know, you hear, oh yeah, Wave 6 is hitting here, and it's hitting here, and it's hitting here. Oh, great. So, you know, I'm driving down, you know, probably 80, 90 miles, stopping at four or five different Targets, five different Walmarts, you know, about three or four Toys R Us's, and I found nothing new at all. So, you know, if I had made a special trip down here to do that, that would have been, you know, a few hundred miles wasted, lots of money in gas, and nothing to show for it. So I know people will continually say, you know, I need the thrill of the hunt. Well, I don't find all that, wasting all that money and gas, all that thrilling. So I'll just wait till it shows up online and click the keyboard a few times.
Which really, it's kind of a different problem for you, in that we should really just have an episode, Where Should Justin Move? Where can we re-indoctrinate Justin into society and civilization?
Ooh, that's a question.
G.I. Joe themed, odd couple, me and Justin move in together. He moved to my place.
Wow.
That will be a hit show right there.
Oh, wow.
Wife and two kids come too, Chuck, or what?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, wow. I thought it was a little bit of a, you know, painful silence there, yeah.
Just to determine now who's Felix, who's Oscar, and just get it all out of the way. I'm kind of in the opposite boat. I have lived in large cities pretty much my whole life. So, you know, when I've been collecting Joes, it was either Indianapolis or currently it's St. Louis. There's any number of places I can stop and look. There is a Kmart within walking distance to where I'm actually in a small town south of St. Louis called Festus. Which is
Festivus? Is that what you said?
It's close to that. It's Festus. It's like the guy out of Gunsmoke. But I just made a Gunsmoke reference. I'm pretty proud of that. But it's only 2011. It's still current. But that's where I found Lowlight, in this Kmart that's 2 miles from the house I'm staying at.
What? Really?
Yeah. Just this. They hadn't even been carrying Joes for a couple of months. Then all of a sudden they've got an end cap up. You know, it's all like the last couple of movie figures plus a couple of Wave One types. You know, I'm seeing that Jungle Duke and stuff like that on there. So I just kind of stopped in a couple of Sundays ago, just on a lark, and there's still those same ones. Plus, there was the remnants of a case of Wave 4, at which I found Lowlight and Skydive, and unfortunately did not find the Cobras. But essentially, you know, I have the luxury of being patient because, I was out of work for most of last year. So large sums of money at one time was not an option. And if I was buying Joes, I was buying one at a time anyway. So it didn't really bother me that I wasn't finding a lot at once. So I'd grab one, and that would be that. So we've got, I can make those stops on the way home from work or out running errands or on my way to the gas station, and there's legitimate places to stop. Failing that, as has happened in the past, I call Gary and I see if he's found spares. And nobody laughs. Excellent. 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 That joke worked.
Well, you guys should all be blessed you don't live in Canada and try to collect this stuff. We don't get half of it. And when we do, usually something's missing from the assortment, or they've screwed up the packaging and given us a full burst card back like they did with the 25th anniversary line. So most of the times I've had to get stuff, I've had it set up from people in the States. They bring it up to me at the convention, or I just order it from eBay. You know, someone's buy it now auction where they thought it'd get, or not buy it now auction, sorry. Someone's auction where they thought they'd get a lot of money and I get to scoop it up for $2. Yay. Downfall is the $20 shipping charge is just awesome. I love that. Yeah.
Is that a fair trade-off for a better quality of junior league hockey?
No, because I don't like hockey.
Whoa!
Like hockey?
No,
that's true. I will admit I get caught up in it comes playoffs at times, but I really don't give a crap about hockey, man. Never have.
I'm speechless.
Hey, take a look at my Pete the Greek's going to hate me for this, but take a look at the most local team I have to root for, the Toronto Maple Leafs. When's the last time?
The Maple Loafs, as it were.
Oh, the Maple Loafs. See, my wife likes to call them the Toronto Make Me Laughs. So, no, but don't get me wrong. If they ever actually got into the playoffs and had a chance, I'd quickly convert and watch their games just to see it actually happen.
What about the CFL?
I've watched some CFL. But I'm also not a big football fan or CFL fan.
Gosh.
Yeah, I know. And my home city's won the Grey Cup many, many times. You know, the equivalent of your Stanley Cup, basically. Wait.
No. That'd be the Lombardi Trophy.
That's how much I watch sports.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll move on to me here real quick. I get it in the stores as I see it. As you know, I will get stuff early from China. It depends on what it is and my general feeling or gist that I get from the community. If it's not going to come out, it's going to be hard to find. Variety of factors are involved there. When I was in Canada, when I was up in Winnipeg, a box came in from Small Joe, so I got the two latest waves in from Corey. And Mike's not lying, man. I was up in Winnipeg. It's a city of 750,000 people, three Walmarts.
One bag of Joe's, right?
There was one on the southwest side near the hotel I was at. And it had two Dukes and two Storm Shadows. And that was it.
It was a peg of Paris Pursuit snake eyes. All of them in bilingual packaging.
We still have Wild Bill from the 25th anniversary hanging up in a Zellers up here.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. Full price, too.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better.
But when we get to the segment of what I got in this week, I'm going to make a proclamation on one of the things I got, and I'm confident that the people in Canada will be the collectors in Canada will be very, very happy that they will be getting this, and the collectors here will be pissed off.
I'm already pissed off.
That didn't take much.
Nope. you don't count. You have to travel 3 miles to get into a crowd. Your anger dissipates by then.
That hurts.
It should. Move somewhere, man. There's a house on the block down here. You want me to put in a flyer for you? You want me to? Whoops.
Greg, save this, will you?
Well, I do the same basically as you guys. I've taken to just ordering stuff from BBTS and Small Joe's because, I don't know, distribution the last year and a half has been all over the place, and it's got to the point where luckily I have a Toys R Us, a Walmart, and a Target all on the drive home, so I usually hit up all three when I got some free time. And I would say right now one time out of 100 I'll see something that's new. Other than that, it's a wasteland, so it's kind of depressing, but it is nice to come home and there's a big box waiting on your doorstep. And you're like, hey, look at this. Like, I have 8 figures I have to open now. So, and the prices, I mean, they actually don't end up being too bad, it seems, especially with, like Justin mentioned, by the time you drive around and check out all the stores and wasting time and gas money, it's easier just to order them online and not have to worry about trying to check and make sure someone's a scalper and beat you to some figures.
See, I hit up Gary for his spares.
About that, yeah.
All right, moving on into what we got in for the week. Chuck, did you get anything fun in this week?
Seeing as how in my local Toys R Us, the G.I. Joe section has been reduced to 2 pegs to make room for, of all things, Tron toys.
They're right
I did not.
They're right on top of that one, aren't they?
Just in time for the DVD, I guess.
The aisle is now Dark of the Moon, Pirates of the Caribbean, Tron, G.I. Joe, and, well, 2 pegs of G.I. Joe, and then some other toy line I've never heard of in my life. But yeah, no, I did not get anything, unfortunately.
G.I. Joe-wise, I didn't get a whole lot, but, I happened to come down into civilization here, as Mike would put it, just in time, as they put out Captain America and Dark of the Moon toys yesterday. So I did pick up a couple Captain America toys, got, the ultimate single-pack Captain America and the comic version. It was like, I don't know, like heavy artillery Captain America or something ridiculous like that, just because they were pretty cool representations of Cap, and I got both of those. I'm really strongly considering going back to a target where I saw Cap's, I think it's called the Strikefire, which is a kind of cool, like, armored personnel carrier looking thing that, you know, a little coat of paint might look pretty cool for Cobra troops. So I'm thinking about getting that just because I haven't gotten any G.I. Joe toys, or not gotten a whole lot of them. I did get Wave 6 a short while ago, but, you know, I'll take any excuse to get new toys I can get, but that's pretty much all I've gotten. There hasn't been a whole lot else to speak of.
I made the rounds this week. I have a friend who I'm trying to help with a custom project. So I'm trying to see if I could gather some spare parts, but really haven't had a whole lot of luck. A couple of weeks ago, there was the low light find. Got my dial tone in the mail from the club earlier last week. This week, I was limited to a Beachhead and Serpentor Combat Heroes pack on sale at Marshall's for $1.
Woohoo!
So that is my big find of the week. $1 American I paid cash. And yeah, that when you have to resort to that as a detail to keep things interesting, it just tells you that there's not a lot going on.
Yeah, I live in Canada, so I'm done.
He found a Timbit that kind of looked like CoverGirl.
That's actually a Timbit I like. Actually, a CoverGirl I like. I'll put it that way. Like I said, I got the two new waves, 5 and 6, in the mail. I haven't really got a chance to open them yet.
You got wave 5 in the mail? That's news, isn't it? Has that really started shipping wide release?
I don't know. I mean, once Gary Head posted, is it news?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Really,
it's...
Asia. So I mean, that's...
I really want to know, Gary, are you selling your spares yet?
I think when Gary posts that he gets something, that's the starting pistol going off for everyone else to start going.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. So, yeah, I got 5 and 6, so that's the General Hawk, Steel Brigade, Jungle Bat, Cobra Trooper, Cobra Viper, you know, both the Croc Master, both of those waves, I got those in. And really, I haven't got a chance, crazy, like, I haven't got a chance to really open them up yet. Shame on me. But the big acquisition this week is I went ahead and pulled the trigger on the Chinese email for Ashiko and the His Scout. And I'm looking at these things, and this is bi- and trilingual boxes. In fact, the way they spell armor is how it would be in proper English, so what you would see up in Canada.
It's got a U on it, doesn't it?
It does have a U. So I am led to believe these have two file cards on them, one in English, one in French. All the warnings, English, French. There is some Spanish on here, but predominantly it's English and French. So I'm going to go ahead and say it and go ahead and break the news now. I think these things... No, I don't think. I'm real confident these things are coming out in Canada.
Damn.
So, there's that odd silence of like, really? Is it coming out in Canada?
Well, mine is a silence of shock. So.
I was about to wonder if paramedics were going to be necessary.
Yeah.
You're going to have
to send somebody up your way. KMG 365,
man. One thing I want to point out is on my way down, you know, I stopped at some, like I said, some Targets, Toys R Us's, and Walmarts. And I will say one of the Walmarts I stopped in Manchester, New Hampshire, didn't have anything on the shelves but had a planogram hanging. And on that planogram, they had two rows of G.I. Joe Pursuit of Cobra on their planogram, and then they had a spot on the shelf for Alpha vehicles. So, you know, Walmart is apparently planning on doing something with Alpha vehicles, whether it's rehashing stuff that's already come out, which is entirely possible, or whether or not it's for something new like the Ashiko and His Scout, I don't know. But
hey, Mike, you used to work, Beachhead Mike, used to work at Target. I mean, just because the planogram says something, I mean, how often did those change? Or how tight to the planogram did they hold?
Typically, basically, if it got to the planogram phase, then they have confirmation that it's coming. They don't like to change those things willy-nilly, because obviously if you put out a planogram, that means you have to spend some man hours to actually implement it. So it's typically, it's gone through, if you're seeing it on a planogram, that a current planogram, then it's going to get there eventually. That's not to say that there may not be something filling that spot temporarily for a while. I know when I was at Target, we really only had in toys. We start doing the Christmas setup in August. And then there was the Christmas breakdown after January, and then it kind of expanded a little bit again in April or so. So I would think that this would, Walmart's not going to be on a too terribly different of a schedule. So I figure this is kind of an expansion, that mid-year expansion. Usually they try to get it before Easter. Easter's the second biggest toy holiday in the country. So they try to get it in there before Easter. But if it's on there, I would think that it's legit.
Okay. Well, with that, hopefully then we will see them here in the USA. But I'm going to buy these boxes. I got to say, you're going to see them in Canada too.
I need to make a friend in Canada.
Well, you've heard,
hi, Mike.
I was waiting. Mike's not speaking up.
Hey,
I was debating it.
Oh, okay.
I love Bret Hart.
Just remember, he's a Transformer.
Yeah, I've got enough friends that are Transformer guys. Thanks.
Oh, it's, man, you're over quota.
Yeah, I got two of them. I got two of them. That's too many.
Chuck, when I'm up there for the convention, I'll make sure I'll take a look around. If I hear some sightings, I'll go on the hunt for you.
Oh, you're the best, Greg. Thank you.
I do what I can.
It's nice to know I have one friend on this podcast.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Chuck, I just kind of pick on everybody this way.
He does. It's the truth.
Oh no, I'm sorry. What I was doing was what I like to call Italian guilt.
Oh, I'm well aware. I was actually born in New York and have an Italian grandmother. I'm perfectly aware. I'm just obliously shrugging it off.
Obliviously. Well, that's, I've basically been obliviously shrugging off everything every jibe that's been coming my way too. Oh, we bonded over something. Oh, this
we
is great.
We know each other. It's like you're in my brain, man.
Oh, this is uncomfortable. Greg, yeah. Greg.
I said brain.
Greg.
All right. So for what I got on for the week, I had a gift card for Target that was kind of burning a hole in my pocket, so I stopped yesterday. And I don't know if you guys have picked up anything for Bravo Team from Target. It's made by Unimax, the same people that make the Crisis 2 figures that are also at Target and possibly somewhere else. But they had a Bradley tank on the clearance for $15 that I picked up. And then I picked up one of those figures that are like $5. And then I needed a Dusty for spare parts, basically. And I picked up an Arctic Destro that I can donate come Christmas time. So not bad. This is the first time I picked up a Bravo Team vehicle. And they're actually pretty well done. They have good details, good size, too. And for $15, it's huge. It's as big as, I don't know, it's probably bigger than the Mauler. So,
do they fit the mainline 3 3/4 inch action figure?
From just playing around a little bit this afternoon, they fit in pretty well. There's two hatches on top that they can sit in for the turret, and then in the back it pops open and there's like benches on the inside, which kind of a tight fit. But the actual figures are pretty close in scale, I'd say, to Joe's. So not too bad, I guess. If you we'll probably talk about it some other podcast, other 3 3/4 inch figure lines. But if you guys get a chance, and my issue is that if there's nothing Joe out there, I just start randomly picking up other things that I probably shouldn't. So this is definitely one of those purchases, but I don't regret it.
Wife won't let me do that. No.
You should see my assorted figure table. It's growing largely. I picked up a couple of Transformer figures, and I have that 20-inch Galactus, and just Joe needs to come up more consistently. Otherwise, my focus goes all over the place.
Gary buys other lines. He just, you know, they're like My Little Ponies, and he just says he's buying them for his daughter. But we know
that. That's the truth.
Polly Pocket.
That is the truth.
Oh, yes.
Gary, do you want to see us out for what we got for next week?
Sure. Next week, I can't quite announce it yet, but we are looking at a very big guest next week, and look for the announcement on our Facebook page, on our Podbean page, and probably on the many forums that we post updates to, Joe DeClassified, His Tank, and probably when we make the announcement, Justin, being a swell guy to the as, will hopefully pick that up and put that on his page.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Okay, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Sometimes when we write things, Justin posts them.
Ooh, oh, Mike has a story pending.
What's that?
That too.
What's that? No, I think Mike muted his microphone again.
No, it was just I accidentally swallowed it. I had to cough it back up.
But once again, to contact the show, it's What's On Joe Mine at gmail.com. You can hit us on Facebook, What's On Joe Mine. Hit the like button, add us to your news feed. On Podbean at What's On Joe Mine at podbean.com. And you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. I want to thank Mike Hettle for joining us. Mike, any closing words from you?
Yes. Go to CanadianJoeCon.com, get all the information on the convention, come up to Canada, stand in line, get some free Timbits, and you can bug Greg. all you guys that you're lucky enough to get the 25 sets to be pre-registered can stand there and taunt Greg too.
Well, that sounds like a heck of a good time, right, Greg? He will be the man in the line while I'm up in the room, nice and warm. Depending on what the temperature is, we'll do the on spot podcast. Yes, I will.
Make sure you wear a T-shirt that says Greg.
And keep in mind, I'm going to be on the phone with him through Skype. So
that's right. You
know, he'll be in a really great mood.
And keep the microphone away from Viper Dave, please.
Oh my god.
I don't even know what I'm laughing at.
Well, when you get a couple people to react like that, you pretty much know, hey Dave, how you doing? We'll see you at the con. So that's it for this week. Everyone want to say anything else? Goodbyes?
Your special guest next week isn't going to be me, is it? Because that's going to be kind of a letdown.
Maybe. Well, we are playing the Match Game song because you made a George Rayburn mention.
Gene Rayburn.
Sorry.
Dumb Donald was so dumb.
Blank. Yeah. Okay.
And nobody says how dumb was he. See, I'm through trying with you guys.
Because we don't have Nipsey Russell.
The Match Game Poet Laureate.
All right.
Dude, I didn't answer because I don't want to be matched up with any of his all.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. It was a long podcast, but we hope we found it informative. We'll catch you next week on What's On Joe Mine.